Colossians chapter number 3. Try to pick up right where we left off last week. Colossians chapter number 3. Thank you, Brother Joe. My hero, brother. Appreciate that. Gotta love a man who looks out for you. Amen. Thank you, brother. Colossians 3. Well, let's just start in verse number 5. We'll read down a few verses and we'll get started. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the time which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, here's where we're going to focus tonight, church. Ye also put off all these. Now, when the Bible says put off something, what should we do? Put it off, amen? Paul's talking to the church here, and the church is clearly struggling with some serious issues, and I do believe these are issues, but I don't believe they're issues that cannot be taken care of. Amen. Here he's talking to a group of believers. He's not talking to non-believers. He's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to born-again, baptized believers that have the same Holy Spirit living in them as we do today. And there's some things that God expects from us that we are not supposed to be doing, that many of us are doing every single day. And tonight I want to try to help you understand this thing of anger. It's a very, very, very nasty poison that has infiltrated the churches. Anger. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight, but I can tell you from experience, I've been angry before. And I was angry for a long time at some very close people to me that I love. Some people that if you ask me, they shouldn't have done what they done, but here's the reality. God knew exactly what was going on before it ever happened, and God was still the same God while it was happening, and God is still the same God since it's happened, and God's the same God today. And in the church, listen, Paul is telling us there's some things that we need to put off. As serious as it is for issues that you relate with, like, hey, why don't people tithe? Why don't people give to missions? Why don't people go to church? Why don't people respect the house of God? Well, why do people not want to look at the things that we should not be doing? See, often as Christians, we want to focus on all the things that we're doing that other people are not. And we want to point fingers and say, look, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing. But what about the things that you are doing that you're not supposed to be doing? Tonight I want to help us as a group of believers understand, one, that anger is a poison. And when you drink poison, what happens? Brother Travis, you get sick, don't you? And here's the sad part. It isn't just affecting you. It's affecting your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren, your church family. Look, God and anger don't go together. The Bible says, put off these things. All these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the what, church? New man. You know, we are created a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things what? Are become new. Now, does that mean we're not sinners anymore? Absolutely not. Listen, the reality is we still needed a Savior when we got saved, as just as much as we need a Savior today. But here's the deal. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From the smallest sin in our eyes to the biggest sin in our eyes. It's all sin, and because of that, we have fallen short, which is why we needed a Savior. So tonight, I want to try to help you about this thing of some things that we as a church should put off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord. Lord, for your word and for your truth, Lord, I ask you just in these next few moments, Lord, to just meet with us in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place tonight. I know, Lord, no doubt, Lord, just like myself, for a long time, there's probably many in the pews right now hurting and angry and mad and upset at people and circumstances, and maybe even upset at God tonight because they think and believe the lie that if God would have loved me, this would have never happened. But oh God, I pray tonight that you'll reach down and touch the hearts and mend the hearts of those who are hurting. Lord, we love those who are hurting, and it saddens me to think that they think they have to live in a lie and be angry every single day, thinking that it's going to affect the person they're angry at or everybody else, but in reality, it's affecting them and their relationship with you. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that we'll see the importance of forgiveness, and Lord, that we'll learn how that forgiveness is key to everything, and Lord, without your forgiveness, we'd be nothing. You had every right in the world to be angry at us forever. But Lord, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and I thank you for it, Lord. Now cleanse me of sin, empty me of self tonight, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, just touch the minds and hearts of your people, and we'll thank you for it. And all God's people said. So some things we should put off. Anger. What is anger? Well, anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. It's that feeling that makes someone want to hurt other people. Now let's just start with a basic question. How many have ever been annoyed with somebody? Strongly annoyed. You hear the person's name or that person walks in the room and you automatically think, uh-uh. I'm not sitting in the same room with him. I'm not sitting in the same room with her. Why? Because I'm annoyed or I'm angry at them. A strong feeling of annoyance or displeasure or hostility. The feeling that makes someone want to hurt other people. I wonder if I were to ask you tonight, is there someone on your mind right now that when you think about that person, it just makes you want to hurt somebody? Or you think about that circumstance in life that may have happened outside of your control and you think, man, if I could do something about that, that person will never hurt another individual again. Folks, listen. That's a problem. That's called anger. And our King James Bible calls that sin. And we have a holy God who hates sin. But a church full of people that have hearts full of anger that say, well, that person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Hey, you didn't deserve to be forgiven either. But God forgave you. He knew you were a sinner. He knew how rotten and vile you were. And here's the problem. If every one of us knew exactly what God knows about you, come on now. We only see what's on the outside, but God looks on the heart and He still chose to forgive you. Hey, listen, and you say, I cannot forgive. Listen, you can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Listen, the love of Christ, the Bible says, that constraineth us. You have a love within you that's like no other. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's how much he loved you. And he didn't just lay down his life for you because you were just some handsome, good-looking, self-centered, self-righteous person. No, he laid down his life for you because you were rotten, you were vile, you were on your way to a devil's hell that God did not create for you. And he knew the only way to get you to him was through the shedding of his own son's blood. So for your wrongdoing, he chose to die. Why are you still angry? Why are we so angry at that individual? Why are we so angry at that circumstance? You say, Brother Drew, this ain't a comfortable message. It's not supposed to be comfortable. I'm not up here to lie to you. I'm here to try to help you. It wasn't comfortable when a preacher sat me down and said, son, you are never going to have the marriage you want to have. You are never going to be the dad that you need to be. You're never, ever going to be the pastor that God wants you to be. With anger in your heart towards your mom and your dad. I said, oh, well, I guess I'm never going to be the dad, the husband, or the pastor then. That was my thought. Does that sound like some of you tonight? Guess I'll just go on living the way I'm living. God wants me to forgive. He'll have to just work a miracle. Hey, listen. Folks, here's the problem. Not only are you angry, you're prideful. And God resisteth the what? Proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Is it easy to forgive? No. Was it easy for Jesus to spend 40 days and 40 nights in the garden sweating great drops of blood, full of anxiety? But guess what he didn't do? He didn't let his feelings predict his will, did he? It wasn't easy to submit, Brother Scott, to people spitting in his face. It wasn't easy to be mocked in front of his own mother and his brothers and his disciples and the same people that he healed. They were crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." They were cursing him and mocking him and beating on him and just doing ungodly things. That wasn't easy. But he did it. He wasn't angry. He did it and he said, "Father, forgive them." So why is it that any circumstance in life could happen to us, little things, some are little, some are big, but compared to what Jesus went through, folks, let me let you in on something. It's all little. It's all small. You know what I was doing? It's kind of like Brother Suter told you. If he told you his story and where he came from, losing his wife and his daughter to a murder-suicide, and he's getting ready to preach the gospel, and one of his deacons come over and say, "Pastor, we just heard a horrible noise in your home." And they had been battling and battling and battling. And his wife took the life of their daughter and then turned the gun on herself. And 3 days later, Brother Suter's begging God and saying, "God, why am I so mad at her for what she did?" And God said two words to him: self-pity. Today, he's 80 years old, one of the most spiritual people I've ever met in my entire life. Why? Because he chose forgiveness. He could have quit the ministry that day, and this preacher wouldn't be standing here. Y'all hear me? God had a plan for him. And let me let you in on something. God has a plan for you. But in anger, you're never going to figure it out. So what does the Bible say about anger? Psalms 37:8, the Bible says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." We should be putting off anger at all costs. Why? Well, who would really want to live out their life full of anger? If you're angry in here today, listen. You know what you do every single day about that person that you just really hate and you don't care about? Well, that person's on your mind more than anybody else in this world because you're constantly thinking about them. You can't get them off your mind because you hate them and you're living in anger, and they're literally taking the person you say, "I couldn't care less about. I don't care if that person fell off a cliff tomorrow, broke both legs, and his mama died and his daddy died. I don't care about them." But they take up all of your mind. You wake up thinking about them. You go to bed thinking about them. Why? Because God is telling you, you need to forgive them. It's a biblical principle. Look what Jesus did for us. Why would we want to live out our life full of anger? Even worse, who would want to die an angry death? Who would really want to be laying tonight? I wonder if we knew tonight that we had 24 hours to live. I wonder how you would live out your next 24 hours. How many phone calls would you make and say, "I'm so sorry that I've lived with this hatred and this anger in my heart for all these years. I got just a short time left to live. I'm going to go be with Jesus, and I'm going to be up there, and I'm going to be ashamed." But see, here's the problem. We don't know how much time we have left. And we just go on and on and on. And many people live out their life into their deathbed angry and mad at the world. The people that we are angry at, though you may not think they deserve forgiveness, God's Word teaches us to forgive everyone that has trespassed against us. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding." He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But listen to this, folks. "But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Everybody knows what the word folly means, right? It means the state or quality of being foolish. So what does the Bible call you if you're an angry person? Foolish. You say, "Well, I'm not a foolish person." According to God, you are. If you're choosing anger over forgiveness that God has given you? And who are you to say they don't deserve it? Folks, we did not deserve it. The state or quality of being foolish, a lack of understanding or sense. You know what? I could hear my grandma right now. Boy, you ain't got no sense. How many ever had that told to them before? Look, all my life I'm like, man, you're angry. You're the one angry. You're the foolish one. I didn't really think that. I never would have said that because she'd have showed me just how much sense I had. But, you know, look, as silly as it is, she was right most of the time. I didn't have no sense. I've done the dumbest things growing up. Some of you probably got some stories you could make people laugh for hours. I could tell you story after story, but we ain't got time for that. But here's the deal. She let me in on a secret. I didn't have very much sense growing up. You know, if you're living in anger all the time, you know what the Bible teaches? That you just don't have very much sense. Reality check, isn't it? It's funny how we think that we're self-righteous and we're holy and we're good enough and what would God do without me? But if you're angry, you're just foolish. Because you're choosing the opposite of what God wants you to live in. God does not want you to live in anger. A lack of understanding or sense. A foolish action. Absurdity. The folly of performing without a rehearsal. You remember the Christmas play we had a few months ago? You know how many times those kids practice that? Over. She starts in October with those kids. And over and over, and you know, parents take them home and work with those lines. Why? Because when it comes time to perform, we don't want to look what? Foolish! But look, how foolish would it have been if Crystal would have said, here's your lines, and none of those kids would have tried anything, but we still chose to have the Christmas play. Nobody studied. Nobody knew where they were supposed to be. Nobody knew the words. That would have been pretty what? Foolish. That's our life, living in anger. Foolish. A mess. A wreck. Some more verses the Bible teaches on anger. In James 1:20, don't turn there for sake of time. The Bible says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Can I say God's righteousness should constantly be working through us? Ephesians 4:26, the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." It's natural to be angry, but folks, don't ever let your anger control your spirit. You know, if someone does something to hurt you or your family, it's natural to be angry, isn't it? But what did Jesus say in that time? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I told you Sunday, those people were fighting the biggest spiritual warfare battle that has ever taken place. And God won that day. Why? Because Jesus chose forgiveness. We are more than conquerors tonight. Because why? Because Jesus Christ chose what? Forgiveness over anger. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger." Hey, how do you respond when someone says harsh words to you? Most of the time, it's simple. Not very nice. I don't respond very nice when people pull out in front of me. The horn does all the cussing, right? Praise the Lord. But look, in reality, hey, what are we called to be? We're called to be vessels of Jesus Christ. And our lips and our eyes and everything about us should be honoring Him. When people say things to us, hey, what did Jesus do when they cussed at Him and they mocked Him? He said not a word. What if we practice that? A soft answer. "Oh, I hate you." "Well, I'm sorry you feel like that. I just want you to know I'm praying for you and I love you. I'm glad you hate me. Because I don't like you either." Now, what's that going to do for that person? That's going to make them more mad, and then they're going to say something more hurtful, and then you're going to get upset. You see what I'm saying? It's like an argument with anybody. Hey, try the soft answer. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know what we are? We're swift to speak and slow to hear. Amen? That's what we are. But that's contrary to God's word. How quick are you to speak? Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Proverbs 19:11, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." That word discretion means the quality of behaving or speaking in such way as to avoid causing offense or conflict. Hey, do you go out of your way to try to avoid conflict? Or do you find something that you can say, "All right, I can get in the middle of that"? Guilty. Anybody else ever been guilty of that? Go ahead and raise your hands. Come on now. I know I'm not the only one. Yeah! Why? Because we like it. I dare that joker to say something to me. I got something right here in this mouth that he's going to want to hear. And man, you say it, and then you wake up tomorrow and you're like, "Now I got to go apologize to this idiot." You see what I'm saying? Look, you never feel good about it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, and he hates sin. There's been many times where I've had to go back to people and say, "Look, as embarrassing as this is, I'm really sorry for what I said to you." And most of the time they're like, "Man, me too. It was a heated moment. But look, it all could have been avoided if we just would have had a soft answer. So you know what? I'm sorry I offended you." Hey, swallow your pride. If you did something wrong and they said a harsh word to you, just apologize and say, "I'm sorry." And they might get more and more angry, but just walk away. It's okay. Don't punch them in the mouth. Right? Don't cuss them. Don't scream at them. Don't make the situation worse. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind." You ever heard that slogan, "I'm going to give him a piece of my mind"? How many's ever said that before? "I'm fixing to give this dude a piece of my mind." Then you give it to him and you're just like, "What did I just do? It was a ball game." Right? Been there, done that plenty of times. "It was just a referee." Yeah, but he was wrong. How many know the referee's always right, no matter how we feel? It don't matter what you say to him. He's still going to be right. He's still the man with the flag, right? Come on now. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." How quick we are to speak our mind. The Bible calls us foolish to do this. Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." You know, we should also, in verse number 8, it doesn't just tell us to put off anger, but it tells us to put off wrath. We should also be putting away wrath. What is wrath? Well, it's strong, vengeful anger or indignation. It's different than anger. It's strong. It's wanting vengeance now. It's wanting to repay them. Well, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Here's the reality. If you're in ownership of God, and if you're blood bought and saved, you are bought with a price. That means God owns you. The Holy Spirit lives and resides within you. Listen, God will take care of you, and he will take care of those that rise up against you. Amen? You do not have to worry about that. God is very clear that vengeance belongs to him. Look with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 tonight. Romans chapter 12. Starting verse 14. The Bible says, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense," here it is, "to no man evil for what? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live, what's the next word? Peaceably with all men. Now listen, can I be angry at you and be at peace with you? No. I can't hate you and be at peace with you and trust you and pray for you and ask the Lord to bless you. Folks, that's a strong thing. That was the challenge that my pastor gave me. He said, son, when you forgive those people, hearing their names and talking about them won't make you upset. You'll be able to pray for them. And when you really know you've forgiven them is when you'll start asking the Lord to do good unto them, to bless them which persecute you. That's what our Bible teaches. But here's something you'll never do in anger. You'll never ask God to bless them. You'll never pray for them. You'll despise the thought of them till the day you die. And you'll take that to your grave. No, it will not keep you out of heaven. But let me tell you something. There's an awful lot of reward you could be gaining in heaven if you just forgive. Live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will what, church? Repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, oh my goodness, what does it say? Mine enemy. Who's my enemy? Well, if we go around the room right now, I'm sure we could start right here with Brother Blake and come all the way to Sister Barb. And every single one of you would have at least one person on your mind that you could say, they're my enemy. But what does the Bible say? If thine enemy hunger, let him starve. Feed him. How can I ever get to a place where I could feed my enemy? I can forgive him. I can forgive her. Why? Because that's what God told me I should do. Because I want to live peaceably with all men. Because I don't want anything between my soul, my mind, my emotion, and my will, and my Savior. And anger comes between that, by the way. It does affect your relationship with Christ. If thine enemy hunger, what does it say? If he thirst, what does it say? Let him thirst to death. Give him drink. But here it is, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now that don't mean I'm going to feed you, but I'm hoping God repays you. So No. I'm doing good unto you because I forgive you. And Jesus Christ chose to forgive me and I was undeserving as you are. I am choosing not to be angry anymore. I want to, from the bottom of my heart, forgive you and let you know that from this day forward, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to ask God to do good unto you. I don't want any payback. Hey folks, listen. What if God thought about us like we think about them? Every single one of you would be dying and going to hell. Amen. Pastor would be dying and going to hell if he thought about me like I thought about them. Here it is, verse 21, we sing it. Be not overcome of evil. Sing it. But overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil. Hey. What a good song to wake up in the morning when the devil sends that person to your brain and you think, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, with good, overcome evil with good. Hey, listen, how can I overlook so many faults and find good and do good? Miss Crystal's going to come to the piano tonight. I'm just going to give you a list through the Bible of people that God could have found fault in. People that were in sin, but God chose to forgive them. They chose to repent, and God did many wondrous things. Hey, listen, Abraham was old and a cheater that lacked faith, but God still used him to be the father of many nations. You remember him? Elijah was suicidal and constantly ready to give up, but God used him to raise up a preacher that wanted a double portion of his spirit in the Lord. You remember Elisha? Joseph was abused and abandoned by his own family and later became their deliverer. Job went bankrupt and lost everything, all to in the end get double what he ever had. Moses had a speech impediment, but was used to free the nation of Israel. Gideon was afraid, but used 300 men and saw a great victory because of his faith in the Lord. Samson was a womanizer. In his dying day, God used him to defeat many of God's enemies. Many more stories. How about Rahab? She was a prostitute. You remember her story? The Samaritan woman was divorced 4 times. She made the pages of the thing we call the Bible. Noah was a drunk, but was used of God to deliver his family. Jeremiah was a young preacher willing to be used of God, known as the weeping prophet, but he was just a young man. Jacob was a cheater. David was a murderer and an adulterer and a coward, and somehow, because of his heart, became a man after God's own heart. Jonah ran from God, but repented after 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, became used of God to see a whole nation saved and repent. Peter denied Christ 3 times, but chose to repent and was used of God greatly. Zacchaeus, just a small man, loved money, but one day fell in love with a Savior. You remember that? Because Jesus said, "Today I'm going to your house, Zacchaeus." The disciples fell asleep while Jesus asked them to pray. Oh, but he forgave them, and they went on to do many marvelous works for Christ. Why? Because he forgave them. Paul, who persecuted Christians before becoming one. Listen, Paul's my favorite Bible character. Paul saw thousands of souls saved. He spent most of his life persecuting and killing Christians. You think we got it hard? Listen, heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. What do all of these individuals have in common? Can I say all of them were very evil people that God could have been angry at and gave up on, but chose to forgive them, and each and every one of them made the pages of the Bible we read today because God gave them a chance, forgiving them. It is very important that we choose forgiveness and not anger and wrath the next time someone offends us. It's very important to choose forgiveness. Can I say this? If someone in your past has offended you, listen, we've offended a Savior.